Second Peter in chapter 1, and our text is found there in the opening verse. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to him that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today we will consider the preciousness of faith. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Peter one day, "Have faith in God." Mark 11, verse 22. And it is only through having faith in God that anyone can truly know God. There is no salvation without faith. There is no peace without faith. There is no assurance of sins forgiven without faith. There cannot be holiness of life without faith. And yea, there is no heaven for the soul of man who does not have faith. It is no wonder then that the apostle here speaks about having obtained like precious faith. For there are those who are convinced that they can have union with God, acceptance with God, without saving faith. They believe that if they have their name on the church roll, then their name must inevitably be on the Lamb's Book of Life. Yet the Word declares in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him or to please God. Still, there are others who are determined that all of their good works, their good deeds, their actions will gain them acceptance with God. And upon those things, the good works, the good deeds, they rely. But the truth of the matter is, as stated by Paul, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works, not of good deeds, not of commendable actions. No, by grace are ye saved through faith. There are those who think that if they attend to and sit in a gospel preaching church where the Bible is opened and the word is proclaimed, that that guarantees for them a place in heaven as well. But wait. There is something wrong with that assumption. Something badly wrong. For Hebrews 4, verse 2, we have these words. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." So Paul's speaking about those who sit under the preaching of the gospel. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." But the word "preached" did not profit them. Why was the preaching of the gospel no profit to them? Paul says, "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So an individual can sit under the preaching of the gospel He can be in a gospel preaching church every Sabbath day of his life and still go to a lost eternity. It's not the sitting under the preaching of the truth that saves. No, as Paul says, he may sit under the preaching of the gospel, but if his hearing is not mixed with faith, he's lost. Indeed, those words, not being mixed with faith, those words mean they were not united by faith to whom? To God. Hearing the gospel, hearing about Jesus Christ, if faith is not placed in the Christ of the gospel, they are not united unto him, unto God. We see just how important faith is then. If we are to say, heaven is my home, Christ is my Savior, God is my Father, the Holy Spirit is my Comforter, then faith is needed. Without saving faith, no man can say, heaven is my home. No man can say, Christ is my Savior. No man can say, God is my Father and the Holy Spirit is my Comforter. And we agree then with Peter. When Peter says to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And so the faith that Peter obtained is the same faith that everyone receives or obtains who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Precious faith, the preciousness of faith. We begin by considering the object of our faith. Remember again, the Savior said, have faith in God. God is the object of our faith. And notice it is a single object. Have faith in God. Many false religions have many gods and expect their people to put their trust in and believe in a plurality of gods and objects. For example, let's take the Church of Rome. Church of Rome teaches and encourages her followers to pray and to trust in and to put their faith in saints, in angels, and of course we know the Virgin Mary. Roman Catholics are given a list of individuals to pray to. A list, not one, but many. They are given a prayer list of saints and angels that they're to pray to before the Mass. They're to pray to all guardian angels. They have prayers to the Holy Michael the Archangel. They're to pray to the Sovereign Mistress of Angels. They are to pray to Mary, the Queen of Heaven, and so it goes on and on and on. And you can go on to any Roman Catholic Church site, and that's what you'll find. But to the Christian, we have faith in God. We place our faith and our trust and our belief in God, we direct our prayers to him. There in 2 Peter In the opening two verses of the first chapter that we have read, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have a Bible margin, you'll see that last clause there, of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, may be rendered of God and Savior, speaking of the one person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God and Savior. It is to Him that we look for salvation. It is in Him we place our trust and our faith. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That was Paul's message to the Ephesians. He reminded them of that when he said farewell to the elders in the church at Ephesus, saying that he preached unto them repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. Not to saints or angels or the Virgin Mary or to other gods. One God. One Savior. Later, when the imprisoned Paul was sent for by Felix, what did Felix request of Paul? That he might hear him concerning faith, the faith in Christ. One person. And Paul commended the Ephesians believers, saying, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, Ephesians 1:15. Faith in Christ. Christ is to be the object of our faith, as well as Christ, the second person of the Trinity, being the single object of our faith. He is also the saving object of our faith. If a son of Adam is to be saved, then that soul must place their trust and faith in Christ, the only Savior of men. The Lord Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John 3:14. Speaking there about how he would die. Yes, and he was lifted up, nailed to a Roman gibbet and suspended between heaven and earth. And all who would be saved from their sin must look to him. Just as the children of Israel, bitten by the fiery serpent and headed for death, certain death, were commanded that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, upon the brazen serpent, upon the pole, they would live. So the children of Israel had to take to heart the words of Moses, and they had to look at the brazen serpent and put their faith in that serpent, that by looking at that serpent they would be saved from certain death. And the sinner that is dying in his or her sins, they are to look to Christ, the one who was lifted up on that cross. Now notice, Moses didn't tell the children of Israel to look to the pole. No, they were to look to the brazen serpent. And when it comes to salvation, we don't look to the wood of the cross. We look to the work of the cross. And the work that Christ did there and what he accomplished there, isn't that what the Lord said in Isaiah 45 and verse 22? Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. None else, none else, none else but Christ. What did Paul and Silas tell the Philippian jailer? That night that the earthquake shook the place, and the prison doors opened, and the jailer feared for his life, and he came in and fell before Paul and Silas, said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Nothing else, no one else. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's what Paul told the Philippian jailer. And he did believe. He did trust. He did put his faith in Christ. And he was saved. And his household was saved. Single object of our faith. Saving object of our faith. The simple object of our faith. Didn't the Lord say, "Look unto me and be ye saved"? That would be the look of faith. Look unto me and be saved. Paul said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10:13. That's the call of faith. It's the look of faith and the call of faith. Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believing is faith. That's simple. Look, call, believe. There's no mention there anywhere of a requirement for salvation where an individual has to go on a pilgrimage or an individual has to afflict themselves or an individual has to fast and starve themselves to gain acceptance with God as George Whitefield did before his salvation. Whitefield said he prayed and he fasted and he fasted and he said he fasted himself almost to death until God opened his eyes. And Whitefield was brought to realize it wasn't what he could do or it wasn't what he should do. It was what Christ had done. And so Whitfield put his faith and his trust in Christ and rested his all upon the finished work of the Lord. As Andrew Bonnard says, "Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, another's life, another's death, I stake my whole eternity." In other words, he's saying, it's upon Christ that I depend for eternity and upon what he has done for the sinner. There's nothing to do. Christ has done it all. For the sinner, there's nothing to pay. Christ has paid it all. All to him we owe. When sin had left a crimson stain, he washed as white as snow. Christ has done it all. Christ has paid it all. There's nothing for the sinner to do but to look by faith, to cry by faith, to receive by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and to rest upon his finished work. The object of our faith. Secondly, the obtaining of our faith. Faith is not something that can be manufactured by fallen man. Rather, as Peter points out here, it is what is obtained. It comes from outside of man. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So faith is something that is obtained. From this we see that faith is a gift. You see, the soul of the natural man, the unconverted individual, the soul is dead. Therefore, is incapable of developing, or if you like, manufacturing faith. It is incapable of having faith because it's dead. The dead soul must be given life. If it is to exercise saving faith. Paul has stated in Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened. The word quickened, as you know, means to make alive. He's speaking about spiritual death. You hath he quickened, or you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the Holy Spirit, which makes alive by the his regenerating power, grants the gift of faith, whereby we are enabled then to receive Christ, to put our trust in him and receive him by faith. The faith itself is a gift from God. God gives us the faith to believe. God gives us the faith to receive Christ. The gift of faith is given by the Holy Spirit, and that is made clear in the words of Paul. By grace are you saved through faith. Grace and faith. Faith comes by grace. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And what do we read in Galatians? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. The fruit of the Spirit. It comes to us by the Holy Spirit. In light of this truth, we can understand why Paul described this faith that we have obtained, that we have received as a gift. It's understandable that he describes it as precious. It is a gift which not everyone will be given. Not everyone receives the gift of faith. Second Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So who will the Holy Spirit give this gift of faith to? Who will receive this gift of faith? Well, Paul tells us in his letter to Titus. For in Titus 1, and there the opening two verses, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And salvation, eternal life, was promised God's people by God before the world began. Chosen in Christ before the world began. And it is to those who were chosen in Christ who will be given the gift of faith, that we may then, as God's elect, receive Christ as our Savior. In the light of what Paul told the Thessalonians, not all men have faith. But we have faith because we have received faith as a gift from God. There's the preciousness of faith. Something we could not manufacture or we could not develop was given to us. That makes it precious. And it's a gift that's not given to all men. Faith is a gift. Faith is by grace. We've already learned that from the words of Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And what is grace? Grace has been given something that we do not deserve. What did we deserve? As the fallen sons of Adam, what did we deserve? We deserved everlasting punishment forever. That's what we deserve. Because we transgressed the law of God. We were haters of God. We despised the Lord. We trampled underfoot His word. Do we deserve grace? No. Do we deserve the gift of faith? No. We deserve the lowest hell forever. That's what we deserve. But God was pleased according to His grace to give us the gift of faith that we might receive Christ. Romans 4. And there in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Notice those words in verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. Those words, "it might be," are in italics, which indicate to us they're not in the original Greek. But they've been put there by our honest and our faithful translators to add sense to the words. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. So whenever you take away the words that are in italics, "it might be," Now you read it. Therefore it is of faith that by grace. Faith by grace. So the gift of faith has come to us by the grace of God. You remember what Jonah cried out when he was in the fish's belly? He cried, "Salvation is of the Lord." And how true that is. That tells us the words of Jonah and what we have learned thus far teaches us and confirms to us that all the work from beginning to end of salvation is the work of God. You and I had absolutely no part in it. None. What part could a dead man play in anything? If we were spiritually dead, how could we believe? How could we need the gift of faith that we receive by grace? See, that shows you how erroneous is the teaching of those who believe that there is a little spark of life in every soul. And that spark just needs to be fanned, as it were, by the preaching of the word. And that spark will grow up into a great flame of fire. That's nonsense. If someone's dead, there's no spark of life there. There's nothing there. God, the Holy Spirit, by his regenerating work, gives life to the dead soul, and in giving life, gives the gift of faith, whereby we're able to receive Christ as our Savior. We have obtained precious faith. Peter said it. We have obtained precious faith. As Peter states, we have received the gift of faith according to his grace, and as well as being enabled to receive Christ, we receive his righteousness. Imputed to us and received by faith. Isn't that what Peter is saying? Have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. All that we have as believers, we have received from Christ, through Christ, by faith. As well as faith being a gift and faith being by grace, we see that faith is genuine. Matthew Henry, commenting on these words, the words of our text, the words of Peter, had this to say. The faith here mentioned is vastly different from the false faith of the heretic, the feigned faith of the hypocrite, and the fruitless faith of the formal professor, no matter how orthodox he may be. Vastly different from the false faith of the heretic, the feigned faith of the hypocrite, the fruitless faith of the formal professor or the false professor. Of course, it is only genuine faith that saves the soul of man. The false professor does not possess genuine faith. It's only a profession. There's nothing there. It's just an empty profession. And when the trials come, then that faith is tested and tried, and only genuine faith will survive. First Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith will be tried. And Peter says our faith is much more precious than gold, because gold can perish, but genuine faith will not perish. No matter how hot the fire may be, the fires of trial and tribulation, our faith is genuine, and it is much more precious than gold, which perisheth. You see, believer, we will never perish. We will never be lost. There's no such a thing of a believer losing their salvation. It's impossible. Because we have in Christ a genuine faith. We are kept in the hand of Christ. We are kept in the hand of the Father. And no man shall pluck us out of his hand. Someone who believed that a person could lose their salvation was quoted those words of the Lord. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. And the person said, oh, well, he could always slip through the fingers. And the person replied, says, don't be so foolish. Sure, we are one of his fingers. You don't slip through the fingers of God. We are his fingers. We are part of him. We're part of his body. There are no amputations with God. We're safe. We have a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. We have a genuine Savior. We have a genuine salvation. We shall never perish. Paul's faith was genuine. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept faith. Yea, the faith kept him. James 1 verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Yes, our faith will be tried. You see things happening today, and our faith is tried. But our faith will hold, because our faith is genuine. And it's precious. In the last place, after having considered the object of our faith and the obtaining of our faith, we look now, lastly, at the operation of our faith. The faith we received as a gift enables us to receive Christ as our Savior. Our faith was put into operation the hour we embrace the Lord as our Savior. And through that gift of faith, we have received salvation. We have been justified. We have been sanctified. We have been glorified. In other words, all that we have is with regard to our spiritual life has come through faith in Jesus Christ. Our salvation, our justification, our sanctification, our glorification. Four times in the scriptures, we find the words, the just shall live by faith. There's faith in operation. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 17. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3, verse 11. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Faith in operation. That means then, first of all, we have an active faith. Just as Paul has said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith. That speaks of faith that's active. When we pray, how do we pray? We pray in faith that we shall have the petitions that we ask of Him. It's not right. We come and we pray, and our faith is in God that He will answer our prayers. When we preach the Word, we preach by faith. As we go forth bearing precious seed, believing that we shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Psalm 126, verse 6. And by faith we receive and we rest in His promises. Because every promise that is given to us, they are yea and amen in Christ. And because we're in Christ, those promises must be fulfilled to us. By faith we look to God to supply all our need according to His riches and glory. That's active faith. Yes, and as believers we are to live by faith, walk by faith, pray by faith, preach by faith. That's active faith. And when we go through those times when our faith is weak, then what should we pray? Well, we pray as the apostles prayed, Lord, increase our faith. Luke 17, verse 5. As well as active faith, there will be the accomplishments through faith. If we want to know about what can be accomplished by faith, or what can be accomplished through faith, we've only to read Hebrews 11. For there in Hebrews 11, we learn much about what was accomplished by the saints of God through faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1, by faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's how we pray. We pray in faith because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things that we want to see. We believe that we will see them, for they are the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. How can we explain God's creation? by faith. We look at the worlds, look at the galaxies, we look at the stars, and we believe that God created all of this by faith. That is our faith, believing that God has wrought all these things. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. He built the ark by faith. They'd never seen rain. There'd never been a drop of rain fall upon the earth prior to Noah building the ark. But he built it by faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. He went by faith. He walked by faith. Somebody had said to Abraham when he was leaving home, Abraham, where are you going? Abraham would have had to say, I don't know. But God has told me. And what am I doing? I'm walking by faith. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged herself faithful who had promised. God said, Sarah, you'll have a child, and you'll have a child in your old age. And Sarah believed. She had faith in God that he would give her what he promised. She lived by faith. Abraham lived by faith. Abraham walked by faith. The accomplishments by faith. You think what the Lord has told us and what we could accomplish by faith when he said, if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard, could say to this mountain, the sea, and it would be removed. What can we not accomplish through faith? Remember the four men who brought the man sick of the palsy to the Lord, couldn't get into the house, up onto the roof, let him down through the roof, and set him before the Lord. And it says, when the Lord saw their faith, he healed the man. That's what was accomplished. It wasn't the faith that healed the man. It was the one in whom they had placed their faith that healed the man. In the last place, you have active faith, the accomplishments by faith. And then the Lord speaks about amazing faith. The Lord had to rebuke the disciples on occasions because of their lack of faith and because of their weak faith and because there were those times when it seemed as though they had no faith at all. And yet the Lord speaks to those, or speaks about those who had amazing faith. Didn't the Lord say of one that he had not seen such faith? No, not in all Israel. Amazing faith. Matthew 8 and verse 10, Matthew 15 and verse 28. Amazing faith. We thank God for the gift of faith. We thank God for the gift of saving faith that has enabled us to receive the Lord and see so much done and so much accomplished because of the one in whom we have placed our faith. And let us then pray, Lord, just increase my faith. Give me greater faith that I may ask greater things of thee. That's why Peter said, having obtained precious faith. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee for this great gift given to us by grace, the gift of faith. We thank thee, O God, for saving us. Thank thee, Lord, for making us thine own. I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And O Lord, when our faith grows weak, we know there is one in glory who prayed for Peter that his faith would fail not. And we're glad that same one is praying for us. Lord, write thy holy word upon our hearts today. May we indeed live it out in our lives. And may we rejoice in the Christ that we have been brought to know, and the one who lives in our hearts today. Lord, bless us now as we part the one from the other. May thy good hand be upon us as we travel and make our way home. And Lord, in thy will, return us to thy house this evening to learn more of thy word and more about thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.